Australia is still to step into her full position in the nations. First sentence. As global balances of power change, Australia's role in the nations will increase. God will favour her on the side of many nations. Australia and New Zealand have complementary but unique destinies. The ties between the two nations will increase, but they will also appreciate each other's differences. Australia has an anointing for administration. This will become obvious as worldwide chaos increases. Administration brings order. This order will be sought after. Joseph was one of the greatest administrators of all times. For Joseph, administration wasn't merely a skill, it was an anointing. Through Joseph's anointing for administration, the destiny of many nations and even the whole world was changed. Australia will have a stabilizing impact in the nations if she steps into her full destiny. A lot of unnecessary chaos will be avoided. The enemy wants to preempt chaos and bring it before the appointed time. If the church in Australia will rise up in faith, the nation will stand strong and much chaos will be halted. Australia will be seen as a nation as powerful as the United States, despite being only a fraction of the size. The enemy intends to incite fear in major Australian cities. The church in these cities has been given priestly authority to stop these demonic assignments. In this battle, the greatest enemy will be fear and the greatest asset will be faith. Hope you witness with that. Before I came, a friend of mine had a dream. Let me read the dream. I had a dream last night that I was in a car with two other girls. I was in the back seat and I was prophesying that New Zealand and Australia were going to have a great revival. The girls looked at each other shocked and said, "Rodney Howard Brown has just prophesied the same thing." Then the car began to fly and went over water with huge big rocks on each side. It looked amazing. Then I said, "Even the stones will cry out." You know, this city is a gateway city. Every city is a gateway in its own way, but there are strategic gateway cities, Jerusalem being the most strategic one in the whole earth. And whenever I go to a city now, I begin to ask the question, what is to come through this gateway? Because there is unique things that are to come through cities to bless the nations. It's not just for that gateway. The gateway is just the entry point that that particular manifestation or blessing comes through to spread out to the nations. This city is a gateway city. A gateway city is a city that is destined to release profound heavenly blessing into the earth. Several years ago, I woke up one night and I looked at my clock. It was 4:44 in the morning. I want you to know I never see anything like that hour. I mean, I go to bed late, but I might go to bed like midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, but I never see 4 o'clock. I never see 5 o'clock in the morning. I woke up, looked at the clock, 4:44, went back to sleep, thought no more of it. I'm a little bit slow. I didn't wake up until it happened again. I forgot how much later it was, but it was a little bit later. And same thing happened. I wake up, look at the clock, 4:44. And God began to speak to me from Ezekiel 44:4, and it talks about the east gate being open so that the glory of God can come back into the temple. And he began to show me about gateways and the importance of strategic gateways in the nations. And so my city is only 120,000, the city of Dunedin. The city of Christchurch, the biggest city in the South Island, is three times bigger, maybe 360,000. It's three times bigger. And you know, with a name like Christchurch, everybody says, "Wow, Christchurch. Christchurch is the city with the name Christ." And you know, it's prophetic of the church. And it's everybody sees the prophetic destiny. And everybody knows that's a gateway. But Dunedin's kind of south, 5 hours south, a bit colder. You know, you forget about it, drop off the ends of the earth. And I didn't really see that my city was a gateway. And God began to show me that Dunedin, it's made of two words, Dunedin, that Dunedin would be a Garden of Eden, and it was a strategic gateway to bring spiritual and financial breakthrough into the nation. In fact, my city was the first city in the nation. But then he took the revelation a step further, and he showed me that really the most powerful thing won't be the gateway of Dunedin or the gateway of Christchurch, but when both gateways are open, there will be an arc of glory goes between the two nations, between the two cities, and that will be a whole nother dimension. But then I began to see that there there are east gates in the North Island. They're actually literally on the east coast of the North Island. And so Dunedin's an east gate in the South Island. Christchurch is an east gate in the South Island. But there are east gates in the North Island. And once both the east gates in the South Island and the North Island are open, then there'll be an ark of glory. And it's like the whole nation will open up. New Zealand will open up and be an east gate nation. And, you know, like we see the sun first and all that sort of carry on, okay? It'll actually be an east gate nation. The really cool thing is when the east gate, the furthest nation from the earth, is open and the Jerusalem gate is open, there'll be an ark that goes around the whole nations and the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And we will see something like we're not seeing that yet. It's going to be so glorious. But then God began to show me that there is something very strategic about the nation of New Zealand and the nation of Australia. And I believe Brisbane is an East Gate nation, and it's a very strategic nation for this nation. And even though, although you're not the biggest city, just like Dunedin is not the biggest town, biggest city in the South Island, there's something very strategic to come through this gateway. But actually, the full glory is going to be when the east gates are open and there's this ark of glory. Why do I talk about an ark? Because an ark implies there's a relationship. You know, there's two cherubim on the mercy seat, and so their interaction forms an ark that becomes the seat for God to sit upon. A footstool or a seat, whatever, however you want to see that mercy seat. And so it's in the relationship. So Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I've been with groups of two or three Christians before, and I tell you, there was no anointing, no awareness of the kingdom of God at all. I just wanted to get out of the place, right? Just having two or three Christians, I don't think that's really what it's talking about. It's talking about being in unity. And when two or three are relating, there's an arc between the two of you. There's a glory beam between you. And God dwells, is seated upon the relationship between you. It's incredible. So we know all these principles in individual relationships, but the same principle applies to cities. And the same principle applies to nations. So I now see, I'm growing in my perception. I'm just young. I really am. I'm just young. I get around seers that really know, they really see things. And I'm just like 2 years old trying to keep up with them. But I'll get there. Now I'm seeing that New Zealand and Australia will actually become an east gate. And there will be an ark between us and Jerusalem that will do something right, encompassing the entire globe. Is this cool or is this cool? Right, go home. It's finished. God enters through the East Gate, and Brisbane is an East Gate. And, you know, I've got a lot more here than I can give you, but I'm just going to jump into a scripture here, because when Gary was talking about 2020, God gave me the scripture in 2 Chronicles 2020. Jehoshaphat goes out to war, and he says, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper." And so this is, in Hebrew, this is called parallelism. So in English, if we want to write a poem, we rhyme every line, but that's not how the Hebrews did it. They would say the same thing twice in their poetry. They say the same thing twice, but they say it different each time. And to get the full meaning, you put the two statements together. I've just given you one of the biggest keys to understand the Old Testament. Most Christians don't know that. You'll find parallelism all through the Old Testament. So that's the statement I just read you is two parallel statements. If you believe God, the Lord, Yahweh, you will be established. Second parallel statement, if you believe his prophets, you will prosper. So Hebrew mindset, they will instantly put those two statements together. So they understand that God and prophets go together. If you hear God and his prophets, then you will be established and prosper. You know, when you prosper, it's easier to be established, right? And when you're established, it's easier to prosper. And so I believe this is a prophetic scripture for this city. I don't have time to break this down, but I believe there's a Joseph anointing on this nation. And I believe there's particularly a Joseph anointing on this city, and that there will be a union between prophets and entrepreneurs that will bring forth a great prosperity. Like, I'm talking about something phenomenal. And once again, you know, it's this interaction between the prophets and the entrepreneurs, which forms an arc of glory, and God will come in and dwell on that, and something very powerful is going to manifest. This prosperity will be used to release new technologies into the nations. And the reason why Joseph is so prophetic for this city and this nation is because Joseph was both prophetic and entrepreneurial. He was both. He had the prophetic wisdom to know they had to build storehouses for 7 years during the prosperity years so they could have a storehouses for the years of famine. So he had a prophetic gift of interpretation, but he was also an entrepreneur. So this doesn't always happen. You know, you often have your prophets and your entrepreneurs. So Joseph was then called upon not only to give the prophetic word, but then to actually administrate. There's a resistance to the word administrate, but we've got to get over it because administration brings order. And so he is used to administrate the saving of the nation and building up storehouses. And so in Joseph, we see the prophetic and the entrepreneurial coming together. And I believe that that is what is to come through this gateway. He had both prophetic accuracy and strategic wisdom. I'm just going to read this rather than preach it. Cooperation between prophets and entrepreneurs is only one way this will happen. Prophets will begin to move with strategic wisdom, like entrepreneurs, and entrepreneurs will begin to move with prophetic accuracy because this is an anointing. Joseph was a manager of resources. That's who he was. That's what he did. For 14 years, he managed, in fact, he managed resources in Potiphar's house. He managed resources in prison. And then for 14 years, he manages the provisions in Egypt. That's what he was. Sounds really cool, doesn't it? Well, I'm a manager of resources. I've been called to manage resources. This nation has that call upon it. And I believe we really need to begin to speak that into being so that the church, the eyes of the church are open to see this and to recognize this. Joseph managed Potiphar's resources. He managed prison resources. He managed Egypt's resources before and during a time of crisis. So it was like, think of this, 27 years of hard work. Sometimes in the prophetic community, we're going by the prophetic and we don't just dig our heels in and get to work. But there was 27 years of hard work, 13 years managing for Potiphar and in prison. Then 14 years managing storehouses, because that's what he was, a manager of storehouses. Joseph learned how to collect, store, and distribute grain. Great anointing. In the past season, people came to the prophet, or the prophet went to the people. Right? In the new season, the prophet will go to work. Spiritual work. Like what Joseph was doing. Did you get that? In the past season, people came to the prophet or the prophet went to the people. In the new season, the prophet will go to work. In the past season, the entrepreneur came to the prophet to get guidance or the prophet went to the entrepreneur to tell him what he was doing wrong. All right. In the new season, the entrepreneur will receive revelation and blueprints from heaven. Under Joseph's leadership, civilization took a major step forward. You think about it. He built large storehouses in centralized locations. So this was a whole new form of technology that was the foundation for building modern cities. Hallelujah. You want to change the future? Australia, this is your destiny. Building storehouses was a precursor to building strong cities. So that's what I see coming through this gateway. There's going to be a relationship between the prophetic and those that are entrepreneurial. And God is going to dwell within that relationship and his glory is going to be on it. And he is going to do something through this gateway that is going to have such a powerful impact in the nations of the earth. So I wonder if you could show me, there we go, look at that. 3 minutes over. I wonder if you could lift your hand if you consider yourself in any way entrepreneurial. Just lift your hand. Okay, great. Put your hand down. Could you lift your hand if you consider yourself in any way prophetic? Okay, cool. Well, that's pretty awesome. That's what I thought. You know, this is how I'm going to finish this. God's just showing me what to do. Okay, whenever there is a job to do, there's always a provision from God. What I just told you, It doesn't mean that the prophets won't have a relationship with the entrepreneurs and the entrepreneurs won't have a relationship with the prophets. They'll still work together. It's just that their anointings will actually cross-pollinate with each other, and the prophets, rather than just being the Lone Ranger prophet that goes and lives in the cave and comes out with the glorious word of the Lord every now and then, the prophet will actually go to work with an entrepreneurial anointing, and the things he touches will prosper and will be blessed. Hallelujah. And the entrepreneur, whereas he would used to be more dependent on the prophetic, he'll actually begin to get blueprints. You know, like begin to see these awesome new things that haven't been seen in the earth. He'll get the blueprint from heaven and start patenting them and producing them and releasing them to the nations. And there will be new technologies that will bless the nations and prevent chaos in the nations. Get over this theology of chaos. The enemy wants to destroy and kill, yes, but God wants to come and bring life. And if we wake up and we flow with our prophetic destiny, prophetic and entrepreneurial destiny, we will release new technologies in the earth which will actually abort the level of chaos the enemy wants to bring. It's time for the church to wake up. We've been stuck in a very narrow place, in a very small place. And so this is about broadening your mind and seeing a bigger picture and stepping into your prophetic destiny. And so whenever there's a call, there's always a provision, and that provision comes through the Lord's banqueting table. And so he has a banqueting table in front of you, Brisbane, or wherever you are from. He has a banqueting table before you, Australia. And everything you need to fulfill this awesome destiny is on the banqueting table. And where does the seer anointing come in? It comes in here. He wants you to see what's on the table. Because when you see what's on the table and he highlights a specific thing on that table, you'll go after that thing because it's the most strategic thing that you need. So there's a banqueting table spread before you right now. And I'm, in a minute, going to ask you just to stand and lift your hands. And I want you to see that banqueting table. And I want you to ask God to show you what it is he wants you to reach for on that banqueting table. Let me just share something for a couple minutes before I do that. I was in my own church one Sunday, and I told people that I wanted them to come forward and just do exactly what I told you, just to see the banqueting table and see what God had for them. And so as a good pastor, I dutifully stood there at the front of the church myself and lifted my hands and began to picture the banqueting table and say, well, God, what is it that you have on the banqueting table? And he said this to me. So I began to see the banqueting table and all of these angels. The angels were the waiters. And they were laughing. They were delirious with joy. And he says to me, laugh with the waiters. Laugh with the waiters. But here's the problem. Normally in my church, there's a free atmosphere and it's easy to laugh. Well, this was one of those unusual Sundays where the atmosphere did not want to laugh. And so God says to me, laugh with the waiters. So I tried. It fell so flat, I gave up. But still, he's saying to me, laugh with the waiters. So eventually, I thought, right, dial out this building and focus on the waiters. You know why they were laughing? They were so delirious with joy about all the good things that were on that table for us. They were so excited about your destiny and the provision for your destiny. I tell you, heaven's delirious with joy because of the banqueting table, because all the stuff on the banqueting table, it's got your name on it. This gourmet dish is for so-and-so, and this lump of steak is for this apostle over here. You know, it's all got your name on it, and they're so excited because they see the provision and the destiny that's going to come forth out of that provision. So they're laughing and laughing. So as long as I focus on the natural realm, I can't laugh. But as long as I focus on these angels and their laughter, I'm able to laugh. And God was teaching me about the two realms and focusing in on the heavenly realm and bringing that dimension into the earth. They were so excited about the good things God has for us. They're so excited about serving us. They're so excited about our destinies. There is a lot of laughter at banqueting tables. Amen. I'm finished, honest. Let me give you three more verses. Let me give you three verses and finishing. No, honest, I'm finished. I'm just going to read them. Let me give you three verses in finishing. Proverbs 15:15. He who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. Psalm 23:5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Song of Songs 2, 3 and 4. You know this verse as he brought me into the banqueting table, but I want to tell you the literal meaning of this verse. This is not just one random translation. This is the literal meaning of the Hebrew. A Hebrew scholar will tell you this is what this phrase means. It literally means this. He brought me into the house of wine. He brought me in to the house of wine. I want to tell you there's a banqueting table spread in front of you. And he wants to show you what's on it. And he wants to direct you to specific provisions that are for you today. So if you'd all stand right now, put your pens and Bibles down. Thank you for being patient with me. Just let's be like little kids invited to daddy's banquet. I just want you to close your eyes and picture the banqueting table. You might not see a vision. You might just picture it mentally. You know, God gave you imagination. Use it. Submit your imagination to God and use it. The devil didn't give you the imagination. God did. Okay, so I just want you to picture this banqueting table. And it's yours. It's for you. And I want you to say, God, what's the provision for me today? And as you just wait on him, let him highlight to you the specific thing that's for you right now. Everybody, it could be something totally different. Some of you, it might just be a thought and you think it's just you. Trust me, it's probably God. Some of you, it will begin to unfold over these next few days and you're going to get a clearer picture of what's on that banqueting table and what he has for you. Father, right now, I ask that you would bring an awareness of the seer anointing that rests over every single one of us, to see and recognize the provision that's in the Spirit. Some of you, you might not even see anything. You might just know there's something on that table for you. You got it? Maybe just laugh with the waiters if you're still waiting. If you know what that is, why don't you reach out in the Spirit and grab it? If it's a particular item of food, piece of fruit or something, why don't you grab a hold of that? Maybe it's gold coins. You know, gold coins can speak of financial breakthrough. I think some of you are seeing gold coins. It speaks of financial breakthrough. So whatever it is, reach out and grab it and take it. My friend Kathy Walters likes to release cows. Cows are a continual means of provision. So maybe he might drop a cow into your arms. Who knows? Maybe it'll be an entrepreneurial idea that just drops in. So sometimes we're so busy going, wow, wow, power stuff, that we forget just to wait and just look. You know, I shared that vision I had this morning, but that didn't happen in a power wow time. It happened when I was just sitting down, focusing on God, and he began to show that to me. And those things can be as powerful as anything. So if you're seeing anything, I want you to grab a hold of that. It's a provision he has for you. One more thing, just stay there in the Spirit. Lord, right now, I ask that you would release an anointing over those that are entrepreneurial, that they would also be prophetic and profound and powerful ways. Father, I ask that you'd release your angels to go and minister and impart and release specific things, specific tools to the entrepreneurs, that they would know that there is a banqueting table, that there's heavenly resource that they're going to begin to become aware of and tap into. They're even going to get excited and come and tell the prophets what they're seeing. And I release that anointing over entrepreneurs right now. And those that are prophetic, I release an anointing to be entrepreneurial, that the prophets are going to begin to go to work. And it's going to be really fun work, because we're going to be established and we're going to prosper. And with everything we put a hand to, it's going to turn to gold. So I release that anointing right now over the prophets, that they will become entrepreneurial as well. That this will be a unique anointing in this gateway. That it will be a witness to the nations of something that God wants to do, where boundaries and limitations that man has put upon us will be blown apart, and we don't have to fit into a box of entrepreneurial or prophetic, but that you're going to bring a unity between these two that is extremely powerful. Amen. Okay, put your hand on your belly. Say, filled with the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and have a drink. God bless you. I love you. Amen.